This is Luke 3:15 through 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I, the thongs whose sandals I am unworthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things that he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Doesn't matter how your God shows up, or are you just glad that they're there, that they're here, or were there, or glad that they're present? Does it matter if your God shows up like descending from Mount Olympus with a lightning bolt in his hand, or is discovered inhabiting the soul of a child in Seattle, or maybe your God shows up as a voice in the wind? I don't know. I don't know how most gods end up on earth, really. Or I don't really know that much what they do once they're here. I mean, outside of the parts you read about. But then, seems like most gods, most of the time, are not really making their physical presence known. But don't you just kind of assume God is around? That your God is present somehow? Okay, well, let's take our God. Our people's God. Jesus was here. Jesus is God with us. Jesus will be with us for eternity. I know it's tricky when you talk about God tense-wise. Past, present, future are tricky. Not because God is outside of time, because how do we have any access to that? It's tricky to talk about God tense-wise because the presence of God is just sort of a tricky concept. I know I'm using the term tricky quite a lot, which maybe you didn't know is a key theological concept. Yes, from the ancient rabbis to Reverend Run, it's always been a helpful concept when talking about the presence of God, especially when it comes to Jesus. I mean, people will often ask me, so if Jesus was born to Mary and was baptized by John, filled with the Holy Spirit, then killed, rose from the dead, and then ascended to be at the right hand of God, then how can Jesus be with us now? To which I always have to answer, it's tricky. To rock a rhyme that's right on time, it's tricky. Tricky. Because we, our people, in our holy book, we have a couple different storylines when it comes to the presence of God. One being that, yes, God is pre-existent. God is pre-existent before people, before the creation of the heavens and earth, before the march of time. God was, just was. Then God created, said, "Let there be life." Light, the heavens and the earth, the water, the land, the animals, the people. I mean, of course we assume God is present while God is creating. I mean, unless God is sort of off to the side, maybe off to the left, and sort of directing things over there, you know. Okay, let's separate the heavens from the earth. Nice, okay. Let there be light there. Okay, I like that. And how about the upper waters from the lower waters? Perfect. Wait, a little bit higher, a little bit lower. Good, that's good. I'm going to call it good. Or maybe God is like right in the middle while God is creating. Like some beautiful wizard with an orchestra, you know? Like, let there be sky above me and around me the earth and, you know, below me the lovely creatures. So that happens. We know that. God must be present. Then the deists have God leave. It's their choice. In the Old Testament, though, we have God. God walks around in the garden with Adam and Eve. God appears to Moses in a bush. God appears to Moses as a bush. I don't know, as a bush. I don't know which one. Then later invites Moses to meet him on the mountain to get the law. So Creator God always seems to be sort of around somewhere. But then here in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus, the incarnation of God, the presence of God on earth, which again, don't we think of God as always kind of being around? I think. We say that with Jesus, God enters creation physically. But do you really think the Creator was outside of creation? I don't think so. It's hard to think about this whole presence of God thing. Like, is God mostly outside of creation, and then God sticks God's head through the veil of time and space every now and then when some hands-on stuff needs to get done? So we have Jesus here, born baby, then he's 12 in the temple, he's growing up real nice, and then the next thing we know, Jesus is all grown up, out in the wilderness with John the Baptist for this story right here, getting baptized. This is how our God shows up ready for action. Those other things lead to this. This is our God incarnate, good to go, the introduction of the character fully formed and ready to do what we know our God came to do. What? Teach, heal, save the world, to lay down some serious knowledge about the way of love and the way of mercy, and then to be killed. Okay, talk about tricky. What does it actually mean that God is killed? Like, for real, was just the human part killed? Or, I mean, I don't know. I guess all the parts would have to be there together. I don't know if they're apart. Anyway, another time. God is resurrected. God's presence in the world is reestablished, leaving the world all reconciled. But then God ascends to heaven. This is what our holy book says. Then he led them out, he being Jesus, as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. That is the end of the book of Luke. That's how Luke ends. Our God leaves. Our God incarnate, our God in physical form, leaves the touching, holding, heart-beating world behind. But Jesus leaves us with the Holy Spirit to be present with us always. El Spirito Santo, the Heilige Geist, the Spirit of the living God. But here in our text for today, we get all three of the above mentioned. The Creator God who shows up as a voice from above. El Spirito Santo, who is also at this point God incarnate as a dove. And then Jesus, who's just been baptized. This is how our God shows up ready for action with a squad. There's three of them. Like the beginning of an 80s TV show. Jesus comes up out of the water, bare-chested, and shakes that gorgeous mane. And the Holy Spirit lands on his shoulder. And Jesus points to her and gives her a wink. Hola, mi Spirita Santita. What do you think, Jesus doesn't know Spanish? And the voice from above says, hey, don't forget me. And then they all chuckle and freeze in that position. And the music comes up, and the three of them are ready for this week's adventure. I know that's reductive. I know it's a ridiculous take on this text. It doesn't even address this text. This text isn't really about the presence of God, really. This is Jesus getting baptized, which I don't really talk about it at all, if you've noticed so far. Yeah. It says after everyone else had been baptized and Jesus was baptized, and while he was praying, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended up him like on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." This is how our God shows up in the middle of the wilderness. But why am I spending all this time talking about the presence of God or thinking about that? Because this is where I stop. Writing my sermon. This is where I stopped writing my sermon and then sat for the next 40 minutes thinking about God's presence and realizing that I kind of was confused trying to push my thoughts into this sermon that wasn't about that. It was about the baptism. But I was called upon, very dear, dear friend, had this tragic situation in her life. I was asked to come into the hospital and pray. And you would be surprised, I don't really do that often because y'all are so young and healthy. But this is a tragic situation, and I came together with the family and pray, and at this hospital bed. And I could not pray for healing because it did not seem like that was where this is going. And in these situations, all I can ask is for God to be present in this room, God to be present with those who are suffering, God to be present with the families who are suffering. I mean, in this tragic situation, that's kind of all I got. And I realized, of course, this is not about me. And I didn't try to make it about me. I just tried to show up and be there and ask that God be there as well. And sometimes it doesn't always, I don't know if you've been in situations like this where it doesn't always feel like that happens. Where a little physical presence of God might be nice. A voice from above might be nice. Sometimes when you're praying, it would be nice, like when Jesus prayed, the whole gang showed up. But I don't know, it's a mystery, and I didn't finish my sermon. I came here with this question, and we always say that one thing we can be sure of is that God is present when we gather together. God is present when we come and share this meal. That's all I got.